Monica, let's try one more time. We're going to get there. Everybody ready? Here we go. A little louder. Can you hear me? It's getting turned up. How about now? Can you hear me now? Kind of a little higher. Okay, let's see. Okay, today what we're going to do is we're going to be talking about the power of the divine will. This is something that Jesus wants us to accomplish. So we all have learned over the past 2,000 years, we've all learned how to pray the prayer of St. Teresa, the prayer of St. Ignatius, the prayer of St. Francis. And now what Jesus is asking us to do is to learn how to pray as he has prayed, as Our Lady has prayed. You know, they did not pray the prayer to St. Teresa. They did not pray the prayer to St. Francis. they prayed in a way that was powerful. So you have to remember what Jesus did. When Peter was walking on the water, he didn't say to Peter after, 20 feet, good job. You walked 20 feet out of the water. You did a divine thing. He says, why did you fail? Why did you falter? See, God wants us to be in his image and likeness, to do what God does. And it's the same thing when he said, you could say to that mountain, move, and it must move. You say to that sycamore, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it must obey you. When he told Philip to feed the 5,000, he said to Philip, he wasn't tricking Philip. He just said, you feed the 5,000. This is exactly what he is asking us to do. He's asking us to begin to pray in a way. He says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Okay? So the saints have learned this, how to pray. And they would pray and they would fast, they would do penance, they would mortify themselves until their prayer was answered. And now what Jesus is saying to us is he wants to teach us how to pray the way Adam prayed before he fell. Okay, and then he says to Louisa, Adam did not pray. He didn't have to pray. He was in no need. So what the divine will is, and this is why when the church approves Louisa, I mean, it has approved her through in the diocese. The diocese has said that to the Vatican that she must and should be a canonized saint. What God wants to do is he wants to begin. So like this first reading in volume 30, 6:29-32, and this is where we are. I am in the arms of the divine fiat. Its domination extends in everything over my littleness. But its empire is not slavery. So we're not going to become slaves of God. And this is, again, the last 2,000 years we've learned how to know God, love God, and serve God. Okay? I am a servant of the Lord. That's Louis de Montfort, to be a slave of Mary. Okay? Jesus is teaching us now, no, it's not slavery anymore. It's to be in his will, to live as an heir of the kingdom. But it's union, it's transformation in such a way that the souls feel that they dominate together with the supreme, with the divine will. And by letting herself be dominated by the supreme will, she acquires the virtue of dominating the very supreme will of God. So what happens is the Lord is going to teach us in a way that has never been seen. Adam lived this life, Jesus lived this life, Mary lived this life. No saint lived this life. And now Jesus and Mary have breathed this life into Louisa. He kept on saying to Louisa, I want to expand your capacity. So God wants to breathe this life in us. God wants us to begin to live a life that is a true life of Jesus. Now, see, the saints, when they possessed a virtue or two of Jesus and Mary, and we love Jesus and Mary. I mean, St. Louis de Montfort taught us to go to Jesus through Mary. Now Jesus is teaching us to go to Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, through Louisa. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. And what we're going to experience, this is why these relic cards are so important. What you're going to experience praying through the intercession of Louisa is such power, and it's not my power, it's not your power, it's God's power, that what you pray for will be answered. And why? Because God is going to teach us how to command. And we're not commanding, I want. This is not the command. It's, Jesus, this is what you want. Let it be done according to your will. Total submission, total docility, total surrender. So, as it says here, this is a union, a transformation in which the soul, dominated by the divine will then dominate the divine will. See, it's mutual possession, God possessing us and us possessing God. So in your life, you're going to see things that will astonish you. And why will it astonish you? Is because God is doing it. See, no one here can do a divine act. And that's one of the biggest mistakes when people hear about the divine will. down at EWTN, some priests came in and they said, I am living a divine life, I am doing divine acts. It caused such havoc that the sisters, who half of them were studying the divine will, were basically banished. They said, this is not Catholic. And they were thrown out. And now you have, out of 42 nuns, now they have 7. What had happened there was it was a misunderstanding of what Jesus says to Louisa. So you have to be very careful. You have to have a priest helping you with the divine will. The reason is we fall quickly into human reasoning, human understanding. So we need the direction of the church. We need the direction of priests who, not just priests, but priests who have read the divine will. See, the divine will is so spectacular that when you... I was talking to a theologian years ago in Rome, and he said, you know, how many books does Louisa have? I said, well, she has 36 volumes. And he says, who is going to read 36 volumes? And I said, well, I'm going to read 36 volumes because this is spectacular. And he says, I haven't got no time for that. Okay? It's not that this is a bad theologian or a bad priest. It's they don't have time for it. So you have to find a priest who has studied the divine will and knows the divine will and wants people to live in the divine will. There are certain priests that don't want you to have this gift. A lot of Carmelites have St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, and they say, we have everything. We don't need anything more. But when you begin to read Louisa, doors are opened that have never been opened before. And this is not a new revelation. This is the oldest gift that God gave to man. It's the first gift that God gave to Adam. And since Adam lived in his human will, causing the original sin, Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, had to come to earth to give us this gift. And it has to come through a human. That Adam was not the Son of God. He was not the Mother of God. He was a human. And so what God wants to do now is put us back into proper order. So Jesus says to Louisa, Louisa, I give you this gift so that you, volume 15, so that you will give it back to the man. Now, who is the man? There's always a man and a woman. Adam and Eve, Jesus and Mary, Louisa and who? It's the Pope. He has the keys to the kingdom. This is why this gift is in the Vatican right now. When the Pope embraces this, he has the keys to the kingdom and he opens the door for everyone. See, the life that Adam possessed was the universal life, the Catholic life. Jesus came to earth to start the Catholic faith. There isn't many ways to get to heaven. There's one way. And that is the way that Jesus has set up through his vicar, through the Pope, through the Pontiff, through Peter. And so once the Pope has this gift and he proclaims Louisa venerable, proclaims Louisa blessed, which Jesus says is going to happen, the doors are open and everyone will become Catholic. Why? Because the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Jews will say, I want this universal life. I want to possess what they are going to see. So when you hear about the miracle that's coming, the greatest miracle that Jesus could give to the world is the divine will. The greatest gift is this great gift of the divine will. So God has given it to us at this point to read, to study, and to put it into practice. Because he says he's looking for souls that want this gift. And we have to prove to Jesus that we want this gift. So it's not just saying, oh, I love the divine will. It's to know the divine will. So what do you know in volume 7? What do you know in volume 28? What do you love in volume 33? What sets your heart on fire when you read volume 16? See, it's to get to know this. This is called the Book of Heaven, and Jesus says that it's only this book that will transform souls. He says there's many, many books. This is the only book that will transform a soul. So this is what we're going to do today. We're going to read this. We're going to become in union with God a little bit more than yesterday. God is going to give us a transformation a little bit more than yesterday. And as we grow in this knowledge, grow in this gift, great things are going to happen, not only for us and for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, but for the world. See, the devil knows. He knows the kingdom is coming, and his kingdom is coming to an end. He knows Jesus' kingdom is going to be fulfilled. And that's why he's causing such trouble and trial throughout the world. And Jesus says to Louisa that I'm giving you this book, the book of heaven, in the worst of times. Now, in 1996, the books came out of the Vatican. And in 2005, we had them in English. So we know this is the worst of times. And God is saying to us, basically, that the chastisement is coming and that we have to get through this. And just like he said, it'll be like in the time of Noah. Remember, Noah did not get wet. What's coming, Jesus says, the chastisements will not affect the souls in the divine will. It'll be as if little or nothing is happening to them. So he says the survivors will be living in the divine will. So as you read this, you become more peaceful, more joyful, more happy. Your worry, your fear, anxiety, your complaints, your negativity disappears. You begin to live a life of heaven and no longer a life of earth. See, Jesus says, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, or negative, if you're sinning, you're anticipating hell. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, Jesus says, and striving for perfection, going to confession, which means going to confession, you are anticipating heaven. So when you die, you don't, all of a sudden go to heaven if you've lived a life of hell. And if you've lived a life of heaven, you can't go to a life of hell after death. You continue to live the life you're living. So if you have a life of hell, that basically says where you're going to go. But if you're living a life of heaven, it basically tells you where you're going to go. So again, as we are peaceful, joyful, and happy, praying the rosary, wearing the scapular, faithful to the dogma and doctrine of our church, loving Jesus and Mary with our whole heart and mind and soul, consecrating ourselves to them, we can be sure, confident, that this is where we're going. See, Christian hope, we are hopeful people. Christian hope is certitude. It's not I hope. No, I know God is going to answer my prayers. I know God is going to take care of what I am praying for. So as you enter into this great gift of the divine will, how glorious it is to see what God is doing. So we begin in volume 13, 1:3, and I don't know what the date is on that one. My daughter of my volition, come into my divine will that you may know the relations which existed between the divine will and the human will, which Adam shattered from the very terrestrial Eden. Okay. So to know God is not to know about God. To know God is to be intimate with God as Adam was intimate with Eve. See, this is God came to earth to marry us. He came for a bride. He's going to marry us collectively and also individually. But he's looking for souls who are open to his proposal. Now, when a Jewish man wants to marry a woman, he goes to the father, makes a contract with the father, and then he pours a glass of wine and he drinks, takes a sip, and he sets it in front of her. Now, if she accepts that wine, he stands up immediately and says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I'm going to take you with me. So that where I am, you will always be. And he goes to his father's house to build the bridal chamber. Because it's a secret. Only the father knows how to build a bridal chamber. And when he's ready, the father says, you can go back and get your bride. And then he with his best man blow the trumpet and they run into the town where this woman is. Who's standing there with a lit candle. She's lit this candle since she accepted the proposal. And then the wedding feast begins. And Jesus says that heaven is the wedding feast. That's why in volume 2, the very first day that Louisa wrote, the very first day he says to Louisa, basically, you have to have the mystical marriage. Now, the mystical marriage is the greatest spirituality that any soul can ever attain. You have St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena. These great mystics of the church received the mystical marriage and then died. Okay? With Luisa at 17, he gave her the mystical marriage and then he said, go to bed. In obedience, she went to bed for 64 years, not eating, drinking, or sleeping. Because Jesus was transforming her, transmuting her. He crushed her. And then he says, I'm going to bring about a new creation through you, Luisa. Now, we have to start this divine will with the ultimate gift of the saints. None of us can obtain it. None of us are even close to the mystical marriage. Yet, if we link ourselves to Luisa, we also receive this gift because of her. It's like if you want to be a Franciscan, you follow Francis, and then you're a Franciscan. You can't be Francis, but you become a Franciscan. It's the same thing with Luisa. If you see, Jesus is proposing to us. That's why, you know, it's very, very important to find a ring that you can wear that says that you are engaged to Jesus. You've accepted his wedding proposal, and he is coming back to take you with him. So that where he is, you will always be. See, the whole life is to know God intimately. To know God in such a way that the two become one. So this is where the reason for the divine will. So he says, my daughter Luisa, come into my divine will that you may know the relation which exists between the divine will and the human will. This is intimacy. In which the creature Adam shattered from the very terrestrial Eden. But the soul who knows no other life but the life of my divine will rebuilds my divine will, binds it once again, giving back to it all the relations that the creature had broken, Adam had broken. Relations of creation and of the principle of existence. So why are we here? Okay, Jesus teaches us in the divine will to... why are you washing dishes? Why are you sweeping the floor? Why are you running? Why are you jogging? Everything is to give glory, honor, and praise to God. Everything is to fall deeper in love with God. Well, I'm washing the dishes for the glory of God. Come, Lord Jesus, wash in my washing. Run in my running. Swim in my swimming. Lord, I want to be one with you. Breathe in my breathing. This is why we do the Prevene act in the morning. Every heartbeat, every thought, every word that I say today, let it be done in your holy divine will. But not only me, I want to bring all of mankind with me to the throne of God. For every heartbeat that ever existed, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. The Pope said that the other day. I got up one morning at 4 and I turned on EWTN and there was Pope Francis before he was Pope. As cardinal, he says, if you're not worshiping God, praising God, loving God, thanking God, glorifying God, he says, you're not praying. That is praying the round. And the book of the round is the first book of the round for ordinary time is done. And if anybody wants that, we'll just give me your name and we'll get the book to you. We have a couple sets of volumes. If you need that, we have the Echo book if you need that. The Echo book is all the prayers that Luisa prayed throughout the 36 volumes. And when you start to pray with Luisa, Jesus says, I will give you everything that I gave to Luisa. So that's why Luisa isn't just an ordinary person. As a matter of fact, St. Padre Pio says she's not of earth. Luisa is of heaven. And he says that Luisa is a second son. That will give light and life to everyone and everything. So as the sun sets down in the west and it's getting to get dark, another sun is coming up. With Luisa, there's no more darkness. What happens is a clarity comes into your mind. A peace comes into your mind. A love comes into your heart that is never there before. And this is why Luisa is so very, very important. He says that St. Padre Pio said that the world and the church is going to focus on Luisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. Now, if you're hunting and you have a scope, You're focused on something. Everything else is out there, all around you, 360 degrees. But you're focused on one point. And this is what's going to happen. The world and the church is going to focus on Luisa Picaretta. Jesus wants us to know this little newborn. Because great things are going to come. Great things are going to happen. So everything that Adam broke is going to be restored. This is what's going to shame and humiliate the devil. Everything that he did for 6,000 years was wasted. God wins. We are going to share in divinity. That's what St. Peter tells us this in 2 Peter. We're going to share in divinity. And we become that drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine. That drop of water hits the wine, diffuses, and fuses into wine. That drop of water, which is us, nothing, becomes wine, sharing in divinity. It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. And see, God is going to take us and bring us into his life. See, that was the lie of Lucifer. Lucifer said, if you eat this tree, if you eat of this fruit, he says, you will become gods. That's a lie. That's New Age. But Jesus wants us to be in his image and likeness. So at baptism, that ontological change that occurs at baptism is we become sons and daughters of God. We're no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We become sons and daughters of God. And now with this great gift of the divine will, Jesus is teaching us how to become in his image and likeness. To do what God does. See, this is why Jesus says, you'll do far greater things than I. Well, how can we do far greater things than God? It's because God is going to be reigning in us. And this is why the command that Jesus taught Luisa, he's going to give to us. And it's not us saying, I want, again. It's, Lord, what do you want? So when a tornado is coming towards you, you can say, in the divine will, turn left. And it has to go that way. It must go that way. See, we've learned how to pray the way the saints have prayed. Please, 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 please. And Jesus says, no, you command. And watch the power of God. This one lady I remember from Texas, her house was always filled with wasps in the summertime. And we were talking about commanding in the divine will. This was, 20 years ago. And so she went home and she said to the wasps, out. And she said she never had to kill another wasp. Adam was Lord of the earth. Adam was clothed in divinity. And when he sinned, he was naked. He lost the clothing of divinity. Jesus says to Luisa, I want to reclothe you with divinity. He wants us to be in his image and likeness to do what God does. You look at a child and you go, boy, you look just like your father. You look just like your mother. You laugh just like your father. You walk just like your mother. You know, the reason is the likeness. See, God wants us to be so intimate with him that we become like him. And this is going to happen all over the world. When Luisa is known, the world changes. When Luisa is known, sanctification occurs. See, now why? Pope Leo XIII consecrated the 20th century to the Holy Spirit. What happened immediately after that was the Pentecostal movement began. In 1960, John the 23rd prayed for a second Pentecost. What happened after that? The charismatic renewal happened. Okay, in 1998, in the year of the Holy Spirit and the century of the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost Sunday, which was Bruce Smith's birthday, by a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Father said, Vene Creator Spiritus. And I remember sitting in the piazza going, wow, he's calling on the Holy Spirit. And he goes, Vene Creator Spiritus. I said, wow, he's calling on the Holy Spirit. Then he goes, Vene. And by that time, everybody went, oh, we got to pray this too with him. 100,000 people went, Vene Creator Spiritus. Come, Holy Spirit. The year of the Holy Spirit, the century of the Holy Spirit, and Pentecost Sunday with the Pope. Calling for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the world changed. And that's why the Holy Father said, get ready for the third millennium. Now, we are 14 years overtime now. Great things are coming. Great things are coming. And he needs, each one of us has a specific role in this gift of the divine will. Your role is so important that nobody else can do it. And it looks like you're doing nothing. You're not standing on a street corner. You're not wearing fancy clothes. You're living the life of Jesus and Mary through Louisa. And as you live this life, you're the one that's calling fire down from heaven. The three purifications. The first purification was of the flood, where God washed the world clean. The second purification was Jesus on the cross, and he shed every drop of his blood for our redemption. And now the third purification is coming, which Our Lady of Akita tells us about, is the fire from heaven. We are the ones that are calling fire down from heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, come beat in my heart beating. Come, divine will. This is one of the reasons why we wear the scapular. Like Elijah, we're calling fire down from heaven. And when this fire comes, it's going to consume the world in love, symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The two hearts, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, through Louisa, is coming to the earth. The earth is going to be purged. And those that love Jesus and Mary, it will be ecstasy. For those that don't love Jesus and Mary, it will be wailing and grinding of teeth. That's why Our Lady says it's going to be good for some, but bad for most. So our job is to live in the divine will in the midst of creatures. You live in the divine will in the midst of your family. Who does not want the divine will? You live in the divine will in the midst of your neighbors who do not want the divine will. You live in the divine will in the midst of friends and co-workers and even parishioners who do not want the divine will. As you live this peace, joy, and happiness, as you live this great gift of the divine will, it is established on earth through you in the midst of creatures. As Jesus said, has to happen. So Jesus says, these were the bonds of union between creator and creature, relations of likeness, sanctity, of science, of power. Everything I, God, placed in relation with Adam. Relations in order of all created things. To Adam, I gave primacy over everything. He was Lord of the earth. He was King of the world. That's why Jesus comes as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the new Adam. Adam failed. The new Adam did not fail. Now, by withdrawing from my divine will, Adam broke all these relations and he placed himself in relation with sin, with passions, with his fiercest enemies. Therefore, the soul who lives in my most holy divine will rises so high as to leave everyone behind. The soul places herself in order between me and her and gives, and she gives herself back to the origin and to the places all broken relations in force. Everything is brought back. This is Louisa. All created things form her cortege and recognizes her as a legitimate daughter, feeling honored to be dominated by Louisa. The purpose for which they were created, to be commanded and to obey her slightest wishes. So this is what happens. You're going to experience with Louisa miracles that will be commonplace. The supernatural will become natural for us. What we're going to experience with great confidence, with great hope, and again, Christian hope is certitude, we are certain that as we pray, our prayers are answered. Now, each one of us are going through worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. Each one of us is going through sicknesses, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, financial. And what Jesus is going to do is Jesus is going to teach you how to overcome all of it. To live peaceful lives amid all that's happening around you. Because you're going to be commanding. Because it's Jesus in you commanding. It's not even you. So when you see a situation, you're going to say, Lord, you know, no matter what it is, let it be done as you say. And watch. Now remember, you know, the tassel, you remember the woman touched the tassel of Jesus. That's the hem of the tillit that Jesus wore, the prayer shawl. And in Leviticus it says the Messiah will heal by the hem of his garment. And when that woman touched the tassel, Jesus turned around and said, who did this? Someone believes, someone knows that I am the Messiah. And then he said to that woman, because of your faith, you are healed. It's the same thing that's going to happen with the souls and the divine will. As we begin to understand the power that Jesus wants to restore to us, and it's not our power, we are nothing. It's his power. He wants to be Lord of our life. He wants to breathe in our breathing, beat in our heart beating. He wants to gaze in our gazing. So when you smile at someone, it's not your smile, it's Jesus' smile. Touching that soul, healing that soul. When you listen to somebody, it's not you listening, it's Jesus listening. Now, this is what the Lord is asking of us. He's asking us to let him reign as king in our lives. In every aspect of our life, everything that we think, say, and do. And as we learn this, great things happen. And this is what he says. To be commanded and to obey her slightest wishes is already accomplished. Now, you're gonna see things like I told you before about, you know, I bought 40 tons of dirt and I shoveled all summer. And I said to the Lord, I can't do this anymore. Can you get some dirt? And within 2 weeks, somebody knocked on the door and he says, can I dump my dirt here? I said, fine. He dumped 40 tons of dirt. No, 400 tons of dirt. Well, not only that, but this past year, another guy, he says, can I dump here? I said, sure. He brought another 400 tons of dirt. Now, they filled a ditch that was at least 15 feet deep, you know, and 100 feet wide and 150 feet deep, long. And all I said to the Lord was, I need a little dirt, you know. And then they bring a tractor and a plow and they plowed it. I mean, it's level. Our God is, he loves to have fun with his children. You need a little dirt? Okay, you bought 40 tons. I'm going to bring you a little more. It says, to obey her slightest wishes is already accomplished. You know, this is what you're going to experience in the divine will. There is nothing to worry about. There is nothing to worry about. God is Lord, and he has everything planned. And it might go against our wishes, but he is our Savior, our King, our God. He's our all. He's our Master. And all that he asks of us to do is let us. He wants to answer our prayers, but he wants to answer them the way he wants to answer them. Okay, so, therefore, all nature remains reverent around who? Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. And all of nature exults in seeing that finally its God receives the glory of the purpose for which he had created it. And that is of serving man. See, God wants us. See, God is so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect. You know, that's why he can't show himself to us. He's so beautiful we would die. That's how beautiful he is. He's so beautiful. And what he wants is he wants us to share in his nature, in his divinity. He wants us to possess this as true images and likenesses of him. And so, fire, light, water, cold will let themselves be commanded by the souls living in the divine will and will faithfully obey the souls living in the divine will. Now, we get a glimpse of this through the saints. But God wants us, we're going to see things that have never been seen before. We're going to see things that are going to so astonish the world that all we're going to be doing is smiling. Because we know what God wants. He wants us to be one with him. There were no other gods out there. And what he is asking us is he, would you be willing to share in my divinity? And if we say yes, then he says, just let go of everything and watch me work. See, when Our Lady gave her fiat mihi, that's all she did. And God did 100% of the work. And we have this bad understanding that God helps those who help themselves. And that was written by the same guy who wrote A Penny Saves as a Penny Earned, Benjamin Franklin. It's not in sacred scripture. God does not help those who help themselves. God helps those who say to the Lord, have mercy on my soul. Help me, Lord. And he says, get out of my way. Watch what I'm going to do. And this is what the divine will is. The divine will is saying to Jesus, I want the gift that you gave to Louisa. I want this gift. I want to be linked to her so that I can possess it as well. Volume 17, 9, 18, 24. My daughter, the living in my divine will is the living that is the closest to the saints of heaven. It is so distant from one who is simply conformed to my holy will and does it. So that's what the saints did. The saints conformed themselves and did the will of God. They faithfully executed its orders. As much as heaven is distant from the earth, as much as the distance between son and servant and between a king and a subject. Moreover, this is a gift which I want to give in these times that are so sad, that they may not only do my divine will like the saints, but possess my divine will. Am I perhaps not free to give whatever I, God, want, when I, God, want, to whom I, God, want? Isn't a master free to say to a servant, live in my house, eat and take command as another myself, and so that nobody may prevent him from possessing his goods, he legitimizes his servant as his own son, and he gives him the right to possess. If a rich man can do so, much more can I, God, do it. I mean, this has not been seen by any saint. The saints did the will of God. When St. Teresa washed the dishes, Jesus looked down and said, oh, my little daughter Teresa is washing my dishes, washing the dishes, doing my will. How beautiful is that? But being linked to Louisa, who possesses the true life of Jesus and Mary, when we do the dishes in the divine will, the Father looks down and says, Jesus is doing is washing the dishes. It is perfect. It's divine. It's not a good and holy act. It's a divine act. And Jesus is washing dishes in our washing of dishes. So we're not doing a divine act. Jesus in us is doing it. So there's a big difference of doing the will of God and living in the will of God. And our God is saying to us, let me reign. Let me be Lord. Let me gaze in your gazing, hear in your hearing, speak in your speaking. What's coming is everything of God is love. And we're going to hear love, see love, smell love, taste love, touch love. And everything that we think, say, and do. That's heaven. We're going to begin to live heaven on earth in a way that the saints, if they could, would envy. This is so spectacular that the saints in heaven right now are praying for us to do this, to accomplish this. Because when this is accomplished, they will be back on earth. See, everybody has to participate in what God has planned. The saints in heaven right now don't have bodies. They're spirits. And as St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us, a human is a body and soul combined. So this glorified state that Adam had, this preternatural state that Adam had, is coming back. This is why, and also time is coming to an end. You know, most people think, well, Jesus said, I'll be with you to the end of time. That's a billion years from now. No, it's very soon. John Paul II, in 1978, said we are in the end times. Saint Paul, 2,000 years ago, said we are in the end times. Well, we are at the end of times. And time is coming to an end. That's why Our Lady keeps on saying, if you haven't changed, you will have no time to change. when the event occurs. See, we belong in eternity. That's where we belong. And in Hebrew, Eden means pleasure. God wants us to live in eternal pleasure. So we're on earth looking for human pleasure and we end up in hell. We have to have divine pleasure. We have to live in Eden. This is so God's got this all planned. And all that he's asking of us to do is to give our fiat to let him accomplish in us what he originally breathed into Adam. But even more so, that's why on Holy Saturday we say, oh, happy fault of Adam. Because God is going to give us more than he gave to Adam. Adam did not have Jesus as his Adam. Did not have Mary as his Eve. But we do. And glorious things are coming. Glorious and immaculate things are coming. So we'll end there and we'll begin in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.